Namaste. This is Francie, and welcome back to the Pure Flow Yoga Podcast, a place where we get to go deep with yogis, thought leaders, cultural creatives, and consciousness explorers to spread love, inspire you, and spread the good vibes. I believe that yoga is helping to change the planet, so I really hope you enjoy this episode. If you want to stay connected, sign up for our love letter at pureflow.yoga and receive our free weekly love and inspirations, as well as be the first to know about our new podcast and blog releases. We'll also share special deals here on our yoga retreats and trainings that we just don't share anywhere else. And if you like this episode and want to keep supporting us to create free, awesome things for you, feel free to support us with a monthly contribution. You can find that at pureflow.yoga/podcast. Your journey to becoming more inspired and connected begins now. Welcome. My guest today is Daniela Garza Rios, also known by many as Daniela Mandala. She's the spirited founder of SOHA, the Global School of Healing Arts Yoga Teacher Training, and she's the co-founder and spiritual director of Sutra Yoga Studio in Monterrey, Mexico, where she's from. She's also the proud mother of a beautiful 2-year-old boy. Daniela has been immersed in bodywork and spiritual practice for more than 16 years, and along her travels has become certified in osteopathy and bioenergetics, medical magnet therapy, Chinese medicine, mandala vinyasa yoga, prana flow, krama yoga, tantra yoga, acro yoga, and Thai massage. Wow. Daniela is known for her highly positive, bubbly attitude, her devoted practice, and her sense of service, all of which are present throughout her teachings. Her work as a yoga and holistic practitioner inspires very clear technique and also a deep understanding. She emphasizes acquiring awareness and sensitivity on how to listen, how to feel, and how to support each individual back to the self. Currently, Daniela is one of the main teachers at Bali's legendary Yoga Barn, where she shares all of her trainings. Daniela also shares online classes in both Spanish and English on udaya.com, and she's currently working on her first book. Welcome, Daniela. I am so grateful to have you here.
Thank you so much, Francie, for having me.
I remember the first time we met was on a beach in Canggu in the south of Bali. And I just remember, you know, playing in the waves and doing handstands. And I thought to myself, who is this girl? I can't imagine. I mean, how amazing it is that almost 9 years later, here we are sharing community, sharing our lives.
You're the first person I met in Bali.
Amazing. So tell me, what are you currently passionate about? What are you sharing in the world?
Oh, that's a big question. I'm very passionate about my teacher trainings. Mm-hmm. Pretty much every offering, every class, every group that I get year by year is absolutely spectacular. It's like orchestrating something very big. Mm-hmm. It takes, you know, many, many branches of, you know, things to put a teacher training together, which is basically a facilitation of transformation, like deep, deep transformation and inner work that people take out into their communities and into their lives. So yoga is just like the surface excuse for it, but as soon as you come in, a whole healing and depth of transformation happens. So just to see this happening in everyone that comes in as one and then coming out as like just the same one, but radiant beauty and just bursting energy of light coming from everyone that, you know, is part of the trainings is my passion. So Yeah,
what a great service to the world. And I've met many of your graduates, and they're just, yeah, like you say, beaming souls who've just gone through this incredible transformation process. I'm wondering a little bit about your journey. Have you always wanted to lead teacher trainings? Did you always know that you were going to become a yoga teacher?
I actually didn't know myself that I was going to end up doing this, but life just brought it into me. It was like yoga was finding me rather than me finding yoga. And it was just in front of my eyes, in front of my eyes. And people kept telling me, like, are you a teacher? Are you teaching soon? So I just started doing for my own practice and then realized how many tools I could find that were shifting the way that I saw life and changing completely the way that I was feeling, reacting into life and behaving towards what I was manifesting. So when I realized how powerful these tools were that were in the yoga practice, I was like, oh my God, everybody should have these tools in their pocket. So that's when I knew that I had to spread the seeds all over the world.
I can totally relate. It's this like yoga evangelism. Oh my God, it's changed my life so much, and I just want to empower and help people to do the same. I mean, it is. It's totally powerful. And along your journey, there's so many things I just mentioned. You've studied osteopathy, magnet therapy. I know you're a big acro yogi and very active in that community. Tell us a little bit about your journey with all of these different modalities.
So that's very interesting. All of the healing practices come from my mom. She's the number one spiritual alternative medicine, most amazing human being in the entire world. Because ever since we were kids, she would just pay for us to come into all of the different healing courses, like universal energy, Reiki, biomagnetism, bioenergetic osteopathy, like all of those. My mom would just put the three kids, like us, into all of what she loved doing. And my mom's a therapist, my grandma, my aunts, and they're also all teachers.
Wow.
So it was like in our blood since we were kids. And for the acro, it was just something that I did for fun because I was a gymnast when I was a little girl. So it just became a part of my life to understand how the body moves, anatomy, and not just practice anatomy like reading books, but actually feeling the meridians in my body, feeling the, you know, vertical or the, what do you call it? Vector lines. Mm-hmm. Just finding the anatomical planes all over what I was doing. And this was my drive. Yeah, pretty much.
Sounds like geometry is playing a big part in your, practice because you also teach mandala vinyasa. Mm-hmm. What exactly is that?
Okay, so mandala vinyasa comes from my teacher, Mayra Cadengo. She's in Mexico. And actually, the first one that started to experiment with all of these mandalas was Shiva Ray herself, right, which I also have been training with one of her beautiful devotees, Tui Marigan. Anyway, mandala vinyasa is like a practice of yoga where you twirl around the mat 360 degrees. So instead of saying making a salutation, look in one direction, you make a salutation and the salutation goes from that one direction to the next, and it goes one circle to one side and one circle to the other side. And what this does is that it's like a salutation to all directions.
Okay.
And it becomes like a dance. And it's so easy to come into a state of flow once you're in it, because you're just kind of twirling around and then coming back to center, twirl around the other side and come back to center. The sequences repeat. And this is just a salutation. And so you can be comfortable in the sequence without having to think what's next. And you're just flowing with the breath and with the movement. So it's very powerful. And then once you finish that circle, you go to a peak pose or whatever, a mantra or anything that's the basic theme of the practice. And it's just really deep. It's just, you know, it invites the practice to be much more deep.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So it's really a very flow-centered practice.
Yeah, there's a lot of flow and it's very artistic.
Okay.
there's a lot of space for your creativity to flow. And I love to teach really like slow, in a very slow rhythm, because I understand that the body loves moving slow. And just taking your time to do the transitions with the breath, follow the movement, and make one big movement rather than 100 different movements segregated. So it's like a dance with life. Yeah.
Sounds so beautiful.
It's beautiful.
So do you have a personal practice of your own, something that you do every day, whether it's yoga or journaling? What does your morning practice look like? Or what is your morning routine?
Yeah, well, this is a very interesting question because it has changed through the years.
I'll bet.
Now that I have a little toddler.
Who may happen to be the cutest person alive. Just saying.
Yeah. The good thing about Teo is that he's not in full school yet. So I get to wake up earlier than him and actually practice. And sometimes when he wakes up early, I just, you know, the morning ritual that I have with him is also part of like yoga. We go and pick flowers, bring them to the altar. We sing to Ganesha. And this is every day. So he helps me pick the flowers, bring them to the altar, like turn on the Palo Santo or the incense. And we pretty much every day practice, either in the altar or reading the teachings, or when I practice by myself before he wakes up, or, you know, even just breath, breathing into the belly. And yeah, so depends on the day.
Yeah.
And yes, every day. It's every day.
That's incredible that you've managed to weave that into the flow of your life, given the demands of being a new mother. It's super beautiful. And given that you are, you know, juggling now being a mother, running all these trainings, having daily classes, how do you self-care? How do you take care of yourself? How do you make sure you're staying in balance?
Yeah. Well, I'm really grateful that I live in Bali because Bali lets me do that pretty easy.
Yeah.
I have a amazing garden angel, and she's my nanny. And we love her with all of our heart. And when I go teaching, she takes care of Teo. And when I'm out of teaching, we just go to the spa together. We go into the cold plunge, hot plunge.
Great. Awesome.
We take walks. Last time I did like a bicycle tour, and they had little chairs for the baby as well. And I just took him around Bali, and it was so beautiful just to, you know, have this time with him out of the trainings. And when I'm in training, I'm also very aware of inviting guest teachers over. So I always have facilitator teachers that help me out so that at least half of the work is done by someone else. And then I can be with Teo and have my own life working as well. So
gorgeous.
Yeah.
So before we started the podcast today, we chanted some Ganesha mantra just to come into resonance with each other and just set the intention for this podcast to be, you know, for the upliftment and benefit to all beings. And you've just referred to your morning practice with Teo of collecting flowers and placing them on the altar. You are considered a bhakti yogi. And what does that mean, I wonder? Can you share with us a little bit about your devotional practices?
Yeah. Devotion is my teacher, Swamiji, Swami Bashi Sananda Sarasvati is my teacher, and also Radhaji. So they're both from the lineage of Dayananda. And every year I study with them, which is all of the teachings come from them. This is traditional Vedanta.
Are these teachers based in Bali or?
Swamiji is, but he doesn't like to be found.
won't include a link.
Studying with him for 7 years, and Radhaji is in Sweden, so I go every summer to see her. And she and him, they always tell us how important the devotion is in your life. So before anything that you are in life, put the word devotee behind it. So a devoted mother, a devoted sister, a devoted mom, a devoted child. And this way, you know that everything that you do in life is like an offering. And everything that life brings to you is also an offering. So the more you honor life in that way, and you have complete validation and trust of everything that life brings, and take it as prasada, which is the blessed food after the puja, or the blessed food after you do like a ritual of gratitude. So everything that life brings, even if it's bitter or sweet or sour or any of the tastes, everything is a gift and is in perfect order. So as soon as you understand that life is happening for you, not to you, you know, you're not a victim, but you're actually, it's actually your friend, and you're gifting your life and you're serving your life, to Dharma, and Dharma will protect you. You protect the Dharma protects you.
What's Dharma?
The Dharma is like the Dharmic path, is the righteous path, is the path of the values, is having the Dharmic values within your life, and is being able to follow your heart's purpose is connected to your Dharma. And these are actually 20 values that are mentioned from Krishna to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. The value of values. You can find this book online. Actually, I recommend it for everyone. And it's a beautiful book.
The Value of Values.
Yeah, by Great. Swami Dayananda. So if you follow your Dharma, the Dharma will always protect you. And this is being a devoted self, is being understanding that life and everything you do in life is ritualized, is something that you're offering. So that being said, whatever life brings, you're devoted before anything else. So you say thank you, even if it's bitter. You understand that any obstacle is only for your self-growth. Self with a capital S. Yeah.
Being your highest self versus your egoic everyday self.
Yeah. Being the self, being like the intrinsic truth that is you knowing that you are part of everything and that you are one. And that everything is part of you, and you are manifesting everything that's going on.
Wow. I love this teaching, and it's so beautiful. And yet, for me personally, even having practiced yoga almost 2 decades now, I still find that when a challenge comes up and life isn't going my way and things aren't in flow, sometimes it's hard to access that remembrance, to access that it is actually in divine perfection, that it's part of the flow. And being one of my teachers and friends, Dr. Bobby, recently, she shared with me, she said, Francie, how do you, you know, what is your relationship with the divine? And I said, well, I know when I'm in flow there and things are synchronistically happening and I've thought of this person and then they call me and I really feel that, that's when I'm in connection. And she said, all of those other moments when you're not feeling that, that's also flow, and that's also the divine. So I wonder what challenges or difficulties have you been working with in your life that have helped you come into that remembrance or to that knowing that it's all, you know, the mud that's part of the lotus. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does make sense. Well, the challenges that I have found in my life is, I'm going to be like brutally honest here and talk about my personal life. I have been a single mom for, I don't know, maybe, doesn't really matter, maybe a year, but there's always angels around me, right? But that beginning of me separating from my baby's father was really hard for me to understand, given that I'm from Mexico and in Mexico families stay together and blah, blah, blah. So my main challenge was transforming the concept that I had about family and understanding that family can be anything and everyone that is around you. and family is around. It doesn't have to be where you are staring at. Like, family has to be blood or this or that. And I needed to break that concept and detach from that and come to a realization that as soon as I let that go, my path was even more clear. And I wouldn't be doing all of this if that wouldn't have happened. So now I see it and I see back at what happened. And I'm actually so grateful because now we're super good friends. We're co-parenting. Mm. It works really well together. And I'm actually living my full purpose. And if we were still together, I might have been giving up my purpose to be more like in a space of family. And now I see why divine order needed us to, you know, become different paths and at the same time share a family without having to live in the same house. So that has been a beautiful awakening for me.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing such a personal truth. I know for the other single mothers out there, and especially single mothers who are yogis, who may feel challenged by this, that's going to be really inspirational. Do you have any words of wisdom or advice for people who may be experiencing a similar situation?
Yes. And I actually spoke to one of my teachers about this, Rada, and she goes, well, darling, this is your dharma. And if dharma is in front of you and this is your purpose and this is what life is giving you, then say yes to life. Mm. Because as much as we resist life, life will resist us. As much as we, you know, have a resistance of something, this will persist. So as soon as you embrace that, saying, thank you, life, I'm not sure what the message behind being a single mom is. And it's really hard to do it by myself right now. But I trust that this is the way. And as soon as you start trusting, life just blossoms in front of you. You close the door behind you and 1,000 doors open. It's that simple. As soon as you let something go, you know, 1,000 flowers blossom into your truth. And it's really beautiful to see.
And what a beautiful place to teach from. It's this, you know, we talk about in yoga, letting go, letting go, letting go all the time. Each exhale is a letting go. You know, yin practices becoming more and more popular and powerful. And so, yeah, just really being able to share from this experience that you've had of such incredible growth from letting go.
And in the teachings of Vedanta, Swamiji always tells us, how fast can you go from the what, like what, to the so what?
To the so what.
So what? Mm-hmm. What? So what? How fast can you make it? Right? How fast can you go through the threshold of the ego, of what you expected life to be or to give you, and be like, oh, before I react, less reaction, less frequency of reaction, less intensity of reaction, sooner recovery. So you just take a breath, you pause, you stay in the what, you feel it, and you go, so what? In and through, seen and gone.
I love it.
Just like that.
Just like that. What a beautiful teaching, what a beautiful learning, what a beautiful remembrance. I mean, really, it's in the resistance that all the juices. Mm-hmm. And this is why we practice yoga, isn't it? To really strengthen our ability to get to that so what a little bit quicker.
Yeah, definitely.
It doesn't mean it's easy.
No.
You know, it's simple, but not easy.
And the harder it is, the thicker the teaching, the thicker the blessing. Yeah.
True that. Wow. So you've mentioned a little bit about the teachers that you've studied with. Are there any other inspirations that have made a big impact on you along the path? Any other books that you would recommend to our listeners that have been pivotal or instrumental in helping you become the incredible woman and yogi that you are now?
Yes, actually. I have a couple of beautiful teachers that I look up to. And well, books. I really liked the Jiva Mukti book when I started my path. Sharon Gannon and David Life were a big part of my inspiration. Because I just thought, wow, they're both artists and they're sharing what they really love in a very awesome way. And they're respecting the traditional teachings, but also making the teachings unique in their experience and in their truth. So that's what I really admire, is teachers that can respect a lineage and have teachers themselves, and at the same time, create their own magnificence.
What's their book called?
Jiva Mukti Yoga.
Okay.
Yeah.
Simple.
And then Simon Borde Olivier.
Okay.
He is awesome. I actually recommend this guy to everyone. Yeah, he's beautiful in the way that he teaches his synergy yoga and yeah, his books, his DVDs, all of his approach to the practice. He practices a lot and he's very dedicated. So I really, you know, admire him in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to mention one more teacher and friend, Tina Nance.
Oh, love Tina.
I adore her.
She's amazing.
Yeah. She's a really good friend of mine. But I also really admire everything that she does. I remember I had my studio back home and I would see her trainings in Bali and I would go like, one day I'm going to put my trainings up in that platform. And like, so even though I was already putting my trainings in Mexico, I would just always see her and she would always come up to my reality. And I love her dearly. And I've always, you know, had her as a sister and as a fellow teacher,
mm-hmm.
who's always inspiring in her work. So
she's an incredible yogi. I've had the gift and privilege to take some yin trainings with her, and her approach to mindfulness is so spot on. It's so empowering and simple. Yeah, great.
Yeah.
So this is the Pure Flow Yoga Podcast, and flow is something that is, you know, we alluded to before. What does it mean to you to be in flow? What does that word mean, to be in pure flow?
Being in the state of flow is when your mind is out of your own way. It's when you're just fully immersed in life and you're understanding that everything is like a river.
Mm.
Everything is water. We are water. Everything is like flowing drops of water. And there's just this metaphor or analogy that I always like to come back to. And it's this drop of water inside the river. And it's just looking at a rock in front of it. And it's not going to go, oh my God, should I go left? Should I go right? Where should I go? And it just flows. And as soon as it touches the rock, the river will take her either left or right.
Mm.
Without even have to worry about it, without even have to think about it. Life is always the path of less resistance. Always. So understanding that you can create something. Let's say you create a project and you have a structure. But you always leave space for universe to be a part of it. So there's always this little space that you leave there for the state of flow to happen.
Mm.
So you're never too rigid and never too soft. But as soon as you get there, whatever life brings and is the easiest path, then that's where you flow. And that's the beauty of working here in Bali and in the trainings, is that nothing is set in stone and everything is trusting with the flow of life. So, yeah, this is what it means to me, is leaving space to trust life.
Beautiful. I love that.
Yeah.
Are there any specific practices that you use to get into that state of flow, or to come back into that state of flow in those moments where life does feel a little bit more effortful?
Yes. When life feels effortful, I seriously go in front of the altar and just discharge, vent, or just do whatever I need to when it's really hard.
Mm.
So sometimes I need some kind of reaction. Sometimes life brings something that it's very painful. And it's okay. Pain is part of the process. If we didn't feel pain, we wouldn't be in this dimension. So I feel the pain. I see the pain. I feel the rain coming because I start crying. With the pain comes the rain. And with the rain, as soon as you start feeling into the storm, as soon as you start understanding the emotions and crying them in front of the altar, or the altar can be anything sacred for you. It just can be this little space with a crystal or with your garden angel or with Ganesha or with the Virgin Mary or Jesus. It can be anything. It could be a candle. It could be a space in the river that's beside your house, you know? So you just go to that sacred space and you feel the feels.
Mm.
As soon as you start feeling the feels and you start embracing the emotion that is going on, without hurting anyone, without reacting towards something, or just with yourself and with that sacred space, then the pain comes, the rain comes, and then you leave the rain into the garden, and then eventually 1,000 flowers will blossom. same thing, always coming back.
Hmm.
So when something stops you, go ahead and feel it. Instead of shutting it down or digging it into like a cupboard or, you know, pretending it's not there, feel it. Even if it's right now, you're talking to a friend and your friend goes, "How are you feeling?" And tears come up to your eyes and you stop it because you feel shameful or you don't want tears to come out in front of your face. You're stopping your emotions. So as soon as you let that flow and let your truth come out and be truthful with your emotions, then, you know, this rain will wash away. And respecting and validating all of your emotions are part of the same universe. They're all full and complete validation.
Beautiful.
You have to be like a mother with your own emotions.
Mm.
Full acceptance of what life brings and how you feel. Yeah.
I love that. I'm currently working with a book called The Presence Process, which gives you each week a set of exercises, and it's really just breaking it down to that simplicity. Be with what is. Have love and compassion for yourself. Really just allow what is. And it's the simplest thing in the world, and it's the most powerful thing in the world. And again, simple, but not always easy. So,
yes, and another thing that I always recommend is using the elements.
Mm.
So maybe crying in the shower, going to your favorite tree and actually hugging it, or going into the grass in your garden and laying on it, or, you know, like just feeling the power of nature and how she washes away all your pain. It's so important, just the sense that the mother is available for all of us. And she's called Mother Earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
So trusting Father Universe, Mother Earth, they're always there, always. So just know that you're never alone.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, I really feel your strength and your faith and your trust in that. Super beautiful. Thank you for sharing. Mm-hmm. And just shifting gears a little bit, you are currently working on your first book.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Well, I actually have many books written down. All of my manuals, all of my teacher trainings have manuals. And I'm very passionate about writing everything down,
mm-hmm.
so that when the teachings are given, people can come back to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they come to the training and they get a book and they actually can see everything that we went through with pictures and graphs and charts. And it's just easy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like a nerd. I love, you know, giving this tool to people to...
I love nerds and I also love manuals, so I can appreciate.
So, I've been blessed with this gift of making a lot of manuals. So now I'm compacting four of my manuals and I'm making them a book. And I'm so excited about it because I can just give it out to the whole world.
Yeah.
To be available, you know?
And will it be mostly for yoga teacher training students or just for the everyday yogi? Or who are you writing it for? Who are you compiling it for?
for anyone who's interested in the teachings, like, it's about everything. Vedanta, the practice, the chakras, the mudras, the mantras. Like, you can find all of the yoga practices within it. And you don't have to go to Bali and take a teacher training. Mm. You can just actually access all of the teachings in a book and take it to wherever you are in the world and just feel it. So I'm excited about that.
I'm excited for you. Yeah. I'm excited for all of us.
Yeah.
And this year you're also going to be offering some new 100-hour modules. Is that right?
Yes. So my 300-hour teacher training,
uh-huh,
I decided to divide into three parts. Because this way I can self take care of myself, mm-hmm, self-love,
yeah,
with my baby, and make it less intense for, yeah, me to work and more beautiful for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one is about flow. It's called Lucid Flow.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's teaching the mandala vinyasa that I was telling you about and how to flow. It's got facilitator teachers coming to teach functional anatomy, yin yoga. There's like field trips, many surprises, and it's a 12-day exquisite little 100-hour module in September this year. And it happens every year. And then the second one is about, it's called Inner Pathways, and it's Chinese medicine meets Thai yoga massage.
Cool.
So these are like, if you want to know the meridians in your body and understand the subtle anatomy, and see how to find all of these meridians in your yoga practice, and see how to rebalance yourself, your organs, your emotions, your meridians, your elements, and then learn how to find these meridians in Thai massage. So this is for all the people who love like healing, and it's absolutely spectacular. This is one of my favorites, actually, because it's very, very healing. And last but not least, it's Vaidika Dharma, which is the art of devotion.
I've never heard that word before.
Okay. Well, it's about Vedanta. And okay, all of these teachings that I'm telling you. I teach this with my beautiful friend, Sharada. And she's been studying with my teachers as well for many more years than what I have been studying. So I'm super excited about this one myself, because I teach the yoga part and we do the pujas together, and she teaches all of this Vedanta, Sanskrit, and the art of devotion. So we do have yoga every day, and we do have, you know, posture clinic and all of this, but then we go into the depths of Vedanta.
And for those of us who may not know, what is Vedanta?
Mm-hmm. So Vedanta is a study of the Vedas. Yeah, it's the beginning of the Vedas. It's the main sacred text where you find the teachings of yoga. So yoga is not just about asanas or postures. Yoga has a like whole ancient books of teachings that come with it.
Mm.
And these are the Vedas. Mm. And Vedanta is a study of all of these sacred teachings that are there, the Upanishads, the Mahabharata, the Bhagavad Gita, yeah? So all of these teachings are there, but you need proper unfoldment, because I could just grab the Bhagavad Gita and start reading it and then have a complete wrong perception of it. So the important thing is to have a traditional teacher that can guide you to see how to unfold the teachings and understand them correctly. And they are so powerful. These teachings are so, they give you so much light that, yeah, this is I'm super, super excited to just have this, you know, moment to share all this. So
sounds epic.
Yeah, yeah.
You are doing some incredible work and sharing so much love and joy on the planet right now. It's such a blessing to watch you shine. And I'm wondering, especially with your little one, is there a legacy that you want to leave, or is there a vision of the future that you're holding in your heart?
The legacy that I search for is pretty much in my It's in my present moment. Like, for me, the seed that I plant in people's hearts when they come to me or when they talk to me or when I can share that space or when I can hold space for them or when they can hold space for me. Like, it doesn't really matter if I'm your teacher, you're my teacher, we're all each other's teachers. It's not about, you know, where or how to leave legacy. Like, it's about what you do today that marks and that shifts and that, you know, always raises the frequency and the vibration. And believe, like, how can I make you and make me believe and raise and, you know, up my game? How can I be of the most service? How, and this is a mantra that I always say to God, to universe, to all of my guides. Please may I be where I can serve the most and share what is necessary for me to give the best of me. So just do the best that you can and put yourself in service. And that's all the legacy that you need is here and now.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. Yeah. And what a simple, powerful prayer. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Danielle, it's been such a pleasure sharing this time with you today. Where can our listeners find out more about you?
I just want to also add, for everyone who's a mother, our legacies is in our children and in their hearts. So sharing all of these teachings with our little ones so that they create this better place always, inside, outside, and all around. Okay, mothers and fathers, by the way. Where can people find me? My website, www.danielamandala.com. My Instagram, Daniela Mandala. The Yoga Barn. I'm living here and teaching here. I'm in the regular schedule. I teach my trainings here. I also have a studio back in Mexico. It's called Sutra Yoga. So you can find me in my website. You can find me in Udaya online classes. Just type in my name. Go to my website.
You and can we'll find... include all those links yes. below. So
Yeah.
Thank you so much again for your time.
Yay. Francie, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. You're such a beautiful inspiration. Your eyes are glowing. Your heart is shining. Thank you so much for this space.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening and tuning into our podcast today. I really hope that you got a lot from it and feel really inspired and uplifted. Please help us help you by spreading the love. Tell a friend, leave us a 5-star review, and make sure to sign up to our love letter at pureflow.yoga to stay connected with the community and receive our free weekly love and inspirations, as well as be the first to know about our upcoming blog and podcast episodes. We're also going to share with you special deals on our Thailand yoga retreats that we just don't share anywhere else. And if you want to help support these efforts, which it takes a lot of time and love and energy to spread the love in this way, and we want to keep doing this for you, so please consider sharing a monthly donation, a contribution, and you can find that at pureflow.yoga/podcast. So hope you have a really beautiful day, a really beautiful week. Feel free to reach out anytime, and sending you so much love. Yeah.